You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Tonight on Blitz, the Bills are 6-2. Do you care if their wins aren't sexy? Plus, we salute the things we like most in the NFL. And which fan base can claim to be the most depressed? All that and more. So sit back and crack a cold one. It's time to get Blitz. Welcome to Blitz, where we talk NFL and rate popular drinks at the same time. Nice touch, Coach.
Yeah, well done. I'm foreshadowing.
This month, it's the NFL salute to service for the men and women serving in the armed forces around the world. Thank you for everything you do.
Absolutely.
So tonight, we'll be saluting the things that we like most about the NFL.
The silly stuff.
And speaking of things we like, tonight, we're celebrating the Ravens for handing those fucking Patriots their first loss of the season, making it another great year where we don't have to hear about an undefeated season.
From the Patriots. There's still one more team left.
No, I'm down with that.
Okay.
I would actually love it if Garoppolo got it. That would just warm my heart.
Some irony there, isn't there, somehow?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yep.
Okay.
Hung out a little too long there, Tommy. We'll also decide which NFL fan base has the right to be the most depressed.
The Factory of Sadness.
No, don't spoil it.
Okay.
And speaking of depressing news, Rookie is out, and our producer Clippy is back.
What's worse news?
Here we go.
Which
I'm
one
gonna
of
get there. Wait for it. But probably for not a long time this time.
That was awesome.
Okay? While Clippy was away sowing his oats at a GNR concert,
nice.
He let it slip on social media that he traded for Tom Brady in our fantasy league.
What? Who would do that? Oh, wait.
So, thank you, Clippy. So, if you have opposable thumbs and you'd like to become a producer, drop us a line on Twitter at BlitzedFootball. Are you going to put up the Twitter thing, Clippy? You going to do that? Could you do that? No, that's Watch Blitz. There it is. Okay, good.
Oh,
at BlitzFootball. Jesus,
so
you're
bad.
So useless.
So bad.
So useless.
Well, he's out of practice.
Still drunk.
Introducing tonight's starting lineups. The coach.
Seriously, I did not know about this. This is so awesome.
The rookie.
Get out there and smash.
And stats.
I'm just the stats guy. I have no idea.
That's kind of my thing.
That's my thing.
Kind of my thing.
First down.
6-2, coach.
I know.
How's it feel?
Comfortable?
Like an enema?
Yeah.
Right.
It's satisfying, but doesn't feel good.
Oh, so it's like it's kind of like eating Raisin Bran.
Yeah.
As opposed to Fruit Loops.
It's eating healthy food. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like I'm filling my need for food with Raisin Bran.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to defecate well later on. As opposed to Fruit Loops, which is, this is amazing.
Yes.
This is like the best cereal I've ever had in my life.
Right.
Incredible.
Right.
When's the last time you took a shit? I don't know. A week ago?
Hard to say.
Doesn't matter.
Plugged up, baby.
Get the toucan in me.
Woo!
I love it.
Woo!
So is that where we're at? Are we Raisin Bran in this?
We are Raisin Bran in this, or even some other more healthy cereal that I can't name.
Like all bran?
All bran.
Right?
Yes, no
this
raisins.
This is all bran.
All
no
bran.
Raisins even.
It's just all bran.
Wow.
It's all bran, because we're all in.
We're all in.
We're all in, so it's all bran.
Okay.
And you gotta win ugly. You know, I think that all these high-flying teams, and the great quote I hear is, you never lose with a lot of... Okay, the quote's gone now. Something about lots of passing yards aren't good.
Amazing.
How's that analysis?
Oh, so good.
Oh, so good.
That's why people tune in.
Oh, yeah, for these pithy quotes. No, but passing yards don't win you games. Whether it's great defense or whether it's turnovers or whether it's just good running or opportunistic plays, like the Bills are just the team this year that they're the team no one wants to play, because I think the Bills can beat anyone on any day. They just have that formula where their defense is great. They've got Allen, who's opportunistic. He can make plays, whether it's with his feet or with a big bomb or something like that. Like, they will always stick in games, and they'll always have an opportunity to win games. And mm-hmm. and it's Allen can, if he can just get a little bit more on the big play arm stuff. He's efficient enough for the most part. You know, I think he's accurate enough in the most part. But they need, whether it's the scheme or whether it's him reading, I don't know exactly what, but they need to have a few more big plays in their game. And if they can get to that level, I mean, they're one game behind the Pats. I think that next game they play is going to be massive for that division.
Ugh.
They've got a real chance to win this division. And I think it's wickedly exciting because, you know, they're not going to be that sexy KC team who scores 50 points and seemingly scores at will, but they are always going to be in games and they're always going to have a chance to make it out there with a win. And this year, you know, you play more and more games that are tight and more games where you grind out. You just kind of get used to that. You get the confidence in that. Most teams don't like to play tight games. Most guys don't want to be in tight games. They want to be winning. They want to be ahead. It's stressful being in that. But when you get used to it, you kind of get that confidence. Like, hey guys, we're fine. No one's losing their minds. No one's like going crazy or taking penalties or trying to do somebody else's job. They're just like, hey, we got this, guys. We're following the system. We're following the program. We're just going to keep plugging, and eventually things will fall our way because we are a great team and we are a sound football group. So that's who I think they are. It's one of the most boring teams in football, but they're winning games, and I think they got a real shot because of that mentality that they're bringing to these games.
Here's what I like.
Okay.
About what's going on. Number one, let's take the number one pick in the, what, let's call it the 2017 draft? 2018 draft? Okay, let's take Baker Mayfield.
Okay, yeah, that was okay. 18, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And let's take Sam Darnold at, what was he, 4?
Yeah, I was thinking there. Yeah.
Okay, two guys that everyone thought were going to be the, obviously, 1 and 4.
Yep.
Number one and number two quarterbacks off the board. Yep. Everyone thought that they were going to be the ones to actually rise above. And what are we looking at here? The two guys that are getting it done are Josh Allen
and
Lamar Jackson.
Number 30 or whatever he was.
Right?
Yeah.
Josh Rosen? Well, fuck, that guy should be homeless.
No, he's going to sell insurance soon.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, homeless. So
close enough.
Well, yeah, exactly. So what I like about that is it tells me that these two quarterbacks have had an ability to avoid the sophomore curse, the D coordinators have looked at their body of work and have understood what it is they like to do and what they don't like to do. And those are the two guys that have seriously worked on their game to defy what D coordinators have tried 100%. To take away from their repertoire. Josh Allen in the last three games, no picks,
right?
Which I love. And even though he didn't have gaudy numbers, just like Lamar beating the Patriots.
He didn't either.
He really didn't.
I mean,
160 yards passing, that's not huge.
No.
But what he's doing, I mean, his completion percentage was terrific.
Yep.
70%, fantastic. But also, if you look at what he was doing on the field, he was moving defenders with his eyes.
Right.
And even when he got into trouble, he was finding a way to look off a safety to make a completion. Yeah. And I think that shows tremendous growth in a guy that doesn't feel like he has to do too much
100%
in order for this team to win.
And not putting too much pressure on himself. And I think, just like the Ravens, I think they call it playing complementary football, right? You've got both teams with great defenses and really both teams with great mobile quarterbacks. And you just got to make, you just got to reduce the negative plays and make a couple big plays opportunistically. And I think Jackson's doing that a bit more than Allen at this point in time. But there's no reason Allen can't get there, right? And there's no reason that maybe the Bills' defense is a little bit better than the Ravens' defense. So I think those teams compare very well, and we need to see them progress through the season right now. But, I mean, did the Ravens show a potential Bills team how to beat the Patriots? Right? So there's a blueprint right there.
Yep.
And I think that next game is going to be huge. And I think it's for the division. You know, I think both these teams can win a lot more games than they lose the rest of the season, and it's going to be an awesome finish to this season for the NFC East. AFC East.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
So close on that one.
Jesus.
Fuck.
Drop the rock fucking again. Oh, fumble!
Grabbing a beer.
Oh, yeah, please do. Well, it's going to be telling. I mean, I wish that the Bills were heading into Foxborough a little bit earlier last game of the year.
Yeah.
Talk about a lot of pressure.
It's going to be awesome.
On a young team that's not used to success.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the Pats still have that aura. Like, that's going to be a tough
Hell
game.
Yeah.
I mean, all I talked about them being comfortable being tight games. Unfortunately, when you're a tight game with that kind of team, with that kind of history, it'll test them. It'll be an incredible test. And hopefully it's a game for either a wild card or a division win. Really is what it's shaping up to be, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it'll at worst, it will teach them a great lesson, even if they do end up losing that game, right? About overcoming that or learning how to overcome that. So I like it either way, and I like this team going forward.
In terms of trusting the process.
Trusting the process.
Here's what I really like, what's going on, is that everyone got real crazy at the trade deadline. And everybody wanted, you know, a big name wide receiver to come in. You know, like, let's get an AJ Green in here.
Which is a need.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Right?
It's true.
Yep.
However, this team's 6-2. And I really like what McDermott said.
Yeah.
Which was essentially, we're not going to do anything rash.
Stupid.
In order. Yeah, fair enough. In order to, like, you know, satisfy what the fans want or 100%. Bring in a big name that's really not going to net us any benefit. I love the idea that they're sticking to their guns.
Yeah.
And let's just continue on. And even if it doesn't happen this year, you have to think that Bean and McDermott have formed this partnership to understand that this is not a 1-year fix.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a 3-4-5 year process. And we're seeing the benefits of that.
100%. And it's something to say for the players to say, hey, my coach trusts me. You know,
right?
We're the guys.
Yes,
and they there are, as they say, there are players with better resumes out there, but are they better players than we are? Right? I mean, Adrian is a great player; he's a great resume. But I mean, hey, our coach trusts us to get this done. Let's get it done. And that type of confidence that a coach can instill in someone is really, really generating of a lot of emotion, a lot of drive. So hopefully that pushes them a little bit further. But at the end of the day, I mean, what would you give up for someone if we Adrian Green? Someone probably wants a defender. You know,
who
don't want to give up anyone in the defense because that defense is working so well. So, no, I think the formula is there. You put your trust in your guys and you let them develop as the season goes and see where it takes you. I love where they're headed.
Wow.
Sexy or not.
Wow.
I love where they're headed.
Go all brand.
Yeah, go all brand. Sorry.
Second down.
That is a good drink.
Oh, because it's the NFL Salute to Service Month. We thought we'd talk about a few things that we'd like to salute about the NFL. First up, we're going to talk about the MVP race. And I think the player that we're talking about, but probably won't get it, but absolutely deserves to get it, is Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey.
100%.
At this point, no, you're supposed to disagree with me.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got your guy. I've got my guy.
Oh, Coop's usually one that disagrees with you more.
Jesus, coach, come to rehearsal. Okay. Christian McCaffrey, 880 yards on the ground, rushing, 363 yards receiving, 13 touchdowns so far. I mean, we're at the midway point. So if we're going to project forward, this guy's going to rush for almost 1,600 yards, almost 700 yards receiving, and have 23 touchdowns on the ground. When your good buddy in Seattle won the MVP as the running back, what were his numbers?
I don't like him.
Why?
Very much.
Why?
Because he would go down at the thought of a hit.
He was rather bad. Yeah. He had a hell of an offensive line that year. Anyway, I think that when you looked at McCaffrey's numbers in college with Stanford, and he was the all-purpose yards leader by a mile, and it didn't seem like he even got a sniff for the Heisman because they always give it to a
QB.
Fucking quarterback nowadays. I feel like that kind of hurt him going to the NFL. He got drafted 8th.
Oh yeah,
by the Panthers. And if you're going to look at that guy today, he'd be a consensus number one overall. 100%. Right?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. He's just a firecracker.
He is their offense.
Yeah,
right?
He is.
I mean, their QB's come in, and as a backup, he's done extremely well protecting the ball and dishing it out. But this guy is their offense. I mean, you got up there almost 20, I mean, projected, of course, but 2,200 all-purpose yards.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And somehow this guy doesn't really get hurt. You know,
for a guy that weighs a buck 40.
an undersized running back with the amount of touches he gets every game. And he gets pounded.
Yeah, he does.
So this is an impressive dude, and he's doing a hell of a job. And I know, I'm going to vouch for somebody else per se, but just to have someone that's not a quarterback win the MVP, I think is good for the game.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, because this is too much of a QB league in my mind, and we'll go on a bit about that later. But I am rooting for him to get this MVP. I truly am, even though my guy is worthy as well.
Absolutely. So Christian McCaffrey, we salute you.
He's a stud.
Cooch.
Coochie-coo.
I shouldn't drink these before the show.
These are really good drinks.
Coach, who's your MVP choice?
Yeah, so I think for me, it's easy. It's with my own team, of course.
And, Homer.
And, yeah, I know.
Homer.
But
can you hit the boo button again?
I'll wait for it.
Yeah. Okay. Scopy says no. Doesn't have it.
Oh, you know what? He's a closet Wilson fan.
Oh, he is too. He
totally is.
Yeah, it's a good call.
So yeah, so for me, it's Russell Wilson. This guy, and he's got pretty good numbers. But Russell Wilson will never have gaudy numbers. He'll never be the 5,000-yard guy with all these
crazy things. Pretty good
numbers. He's got, honestly, for his normal workings of this offense, he's got insane numbers.
Yes.
Right, and that's where I think this is a differentiator for him, is that he is being relied on more and more.
Yeah.
And as any quarterback in a sort of a run-heavy offense, you have to make the most of everything. And his efficiency is just phenomenal this year. And his absolute breakaway plays, like those sort of those long 15-plus yard passes, he is just killing it with those, especially with Tyler Lockett. Him and Tyler Lockett are almost money. Like, it's almost guaranteed if the ball's going up to Lockett, it's like a 30-yard-plus play.
Yeah.
It's insane. Or a touchdown. So, I mean, you got your 2,500 yards right now, 22 TDs, and one interception, which is the absolute hallmark of the Russell Wilson era. This guy does not give the ball away very often.
No.
But what he's doing this year, off the record books, if you will, is that he's not getting those, like, 15-yard sacks, and he's not doing those little fumbles. Like, he's not getting caught in the backfield as much as he used to for those really big negative plays. His pocket presence this year is so much better than I've ever seen it. It's the one thing this year, apart from the stats, that I think he's truly, truly improved upon, which has helped his stats. He's able to get out of those better or get into better situation to throw or just protect the ball and get rid of it. Mm. So beyond the numbers, and you say on track, which is perfect for 4,400 yards, almost 40 TDs and only two interceptions if he keeps pace with where he is right now. And I think he can do it. I know they're going into a harder stretch, so it might not get that good. It might be a couple more interceptions. But I think the way he's playing and the confidence and the poise that he has right now, there's no reason he can't continue to do that through the rest of the season. And the guy, again, most valuable player. Without Russell Wilson, how is Seattle as a team?
With Geno Smith as the quarterback?
I mean, we've got tons of quarterbacks playing backups for this, and their teams aren't missing much of a beat. Even Kansas City, for crying out loud.
True.
But you put anybody else under center that's a backup-type caliber quarterback of Seattle, we're 0-9 right now.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So this guy, just like McCaffrey, their offense runs through that guy. And if he's not there, they're no good.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that's an MVP.
Huh. So, Russell Wilson, we salute you. Okay, next up, something we're going to salute about the NFL that we really like this year is the play of young quarterbacks.
Yes.
I heard a stat the other day that said something like half the quarterbacks, the starting quarterbacks in the NFL now are under the age of 26.
Is that right?
So this has a lot of promise for the future.
Crazy.
So when you start talking about guys like, I mean, the established guys out there. I mean,
yeah.
Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I mean, here's another guy.
He's pretty good.
Under 26 years old. Yeah, already an MVP under his belt.
Yeah.
And, you know, that as soon as he comes back, Clippy, throw Patrick Mahomes up. Come on. When you throw Mahomes, like,
he didn't even react. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah, I know. He's so casual, right? I know. He's got his iPad, his iPod on. He's listening to Guns N' Roses still. He doesn't give a shit.
I thought he's binging Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you got obviously an all-world talent like Mahomes, who you can probably assume is going to win 3 or 4 MVPs over the course of his career.
Good
but there's this other young crop of QBs that are so exciting to watch. And we saw it last night with a guy named Lamar Jackson.
Oh, God.
Who I think got exposed last year in the playoffs when the Chargers took
them down.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. With their
when
six
Gus
DBs.
Bradley he created this scheme where he was going to play more DBs in the like linebackers and safety positions to make sure that Lamar couldn't get out. But he spent obviously the entire offseason learning how to get more accurate, working on his throwing motion. And I love the idea that they're a smash mouth team and they do have design runs. However, Lamar's a guy that he can still get the ball down the field.
Well, and the fact that he, I don't know how he gets through some of those holes. I don't know how the moves he makes, let alone the fact that guy's got crazy speed and he's so shifty and he's got such good moves and such good ability to just make guys miss. But like, he'll go through like a pack of people. I'm like, how did he slither through there?
Right.
The guy is.
Yeah.
I mean,
sneaky good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He really is. And the throwing, it's not perfect, but when he does make very opportunistic throws as well.
Totally.
The guy, he's killing it. I mean, you got Deshaun Watson up there. Like, is that guy any worse than Lamar Jackson or Lamar or Patrick Mahomes? I mean, that guy's amazing.
He's incredible. Like, he makes amazing decisions. And if you even kick him in the face, he still completes passes. It's incredible.
Yeah. Incredible crop.
And let's not lose the thread here that Kyler Murray obviously is the real deal.
Yeah.
At least what he's shown me. I never thought a Smurf could play quarterback in the NFL. This guy is proving me absolutely wrong. Come on. You look at that guy.
What Smurf is he? Like Handy Smurf or?
More like Brawny Smurf.
Brawny Smurf. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
in
not
a way.
Bad.
'Cause he's
Crafty Smurf?
Is there a Crafty
Smurf? I
have no
idea. I'm just making them up.
Brainy Smurf.
Brainy Smurf's not bad.
Quickie Smurf?
Smurfette?
Smurfette. No. Smurfette. No.
Okay.
Come
okay.
on.
All right.
Break.
Too far.
Yeah.
Too far.
Wow. Really went down the rabbit hole there. Anyways, I am really sold on Kyler Murray, and I know it was controversial to get rid of Josh Rosen.
Yep.
Send him over to the Dolphins. But,
well, he's not even playing for the crappiest team in the league.
Yeah.
It could have been that controversial. Really.
Yeah. Well, no. The point is that you draft a guy in the first round as your future quarterback.
Fair.
And, I mean, this guy is just so much better than Rosen. I mean, Rosen, it seems to me, like, probably going to be out of the league in a couple of years. Just hasn't proved that he's legit.
Look at it this way.
Legit.
The Cardinals are interesting now.
Right? Exactly.
They
makes
weren't
it
last
so
year.
Exciting.
They were not at all interesting.
Totally.
Right now, the Cardinals are TV you want to watch.
Absolutely.
To watch this kid do the work.
Got
yep.
it. 100%. Coach, what do you got? Oh, wait a second. So young QBs, we salute you.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom. Mom, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Third down.
Tonight, we're going to decide which NFL fan base deserves to be recognized as the most depressed, which is to say, which franchise has had the worst of it since 1990.
Ooh, that's a long
time. We put together, We put together four finalists. But if you have any others that you'd like to bring up at home, just give us a comment. We'd be happy to include them.
You know,
okay.
You know what's depressing?
What's that?
I can't drink with this freaking thing on.
I know. We got to wait till this segment's over.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Okay. Hurry up.
Okay. Here's the fourth seed.
Dun, dun, dun,
throw it up, Clippy.
Dun, 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 dun.
The New York Jets.
Hey!
Since 1990, they've got a record of 207 and 265 for a 438 win percentage. They've been to the playoffs eight times, and they've even had seven playoff wins.
That's not terrible.
They've also had 15 non-losing seasons in all of that craziness.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some of their worst moments. We all know about the butt fumble.
So good.
And this is becoming a little bit more glaring, is that the Adam Gase hire, that's just not working out. It's just fucking weird, people.
It's not working out in so many ways.
I know.
It's so weird to turn and look over here.
It's so odd. And actually, I like it because I don't have to look at you. Another low light in Jets history. Let's talk about Joe Namath on national TV trying to make out with Susie Colbert because he's so fucking hammered. Thanks, Joe.
Oh, that was a bad thing?
Yeah. Oh, certainly was.
I wasn't sure.
For those of you that forgot about Seahawks backup Geno Smith, when he was the starter, he got punched in the face as the Jets starter and broke his jaw. Let's not forget about the ultimate worst moment where Bill Belichick served as the head coach for all of 12.8 seconds before he resigned.
Do you remember what year that was?
That was probably before. Well, it was in the
late 1990s. It was
like
in
the 90s. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know.
Like,
embarrassing.
The Browns and the Jets are like,
yeah.
Kind of wish we hung on to that guy.
Totally. Second seed. Let's throw it up, Clippy. We got the Bengals. Love them. 197 and 275. Did I say second seed? Third seed. They're our third seed. For a .41 win percentage. 410. They've been to the playoffs eight times since 1990, recording one win. Yeah. They've also had 12 non-losing seasons in 29 years.
I love how you frame that.
Let's talk about some of their worst moments. Really, when they had the most promise, it had to be the Steelers caving in Carson Palmer's knee in the playoffs.
Back when you could actually hit a quarterback.
Yeah, true. By the way, they lost that game. And let's talk about some of the...
It was sad.
Draft damage where in the first round they drafted Akili Smith. And of course, let's not forget about Kajana Carter.
Wait, was he their Achilles heel?
Oh, very much so.
Hey.
And let's not forget about that glorious year in 2006 where a full nine Bengals were arrested over the course of the season.
Was it all at the same time or was it spread out?
No, I think it was spread out.
Just one.
It's not like they knocked over a bank.
That's right.
Give me a break.
That's right.
They were making banks.
Like, Ocean's 9 in Cincinnati.
Okay, let's go to our second seed.
Oh, God.
The Detroit Lions at 193 and 278 and won for a 40% win percentage. God. They've been to the playoffs nine times since 1990, and they have recorded one win. Very exciting. 11 non-losing seasons. But let's talk about some of their worst moments. It's 0-16, of course. Wow. The first team ever to go 0-16, by the way. Congratulations. Yep. And Barry Sanders retiring before
early.
He took over the rushing title.
Yep.
Megatron retiring early before he set the wide receiver passing or receptions title. And pretty much everybody else retiring early because they want to get the fuck out of Detroit.
And those are such good points because, I mean, these are, like, absolute, unbelievably great NFL players who were so sad and so demoralized that they left the game because of Detroit. Good Lord, people.
This is the longest we've gone without having a drink on this show.
I know. This is awful.
God. Okay. And let's go to our number one seed. The Cleveland Browns, who in the last 29 years have gone 136-288 for a 32% win
32.
Percentage. I know, it's incredible. God. They've been in the playoffs twice.
Hey!
And they've gotten a win.
You know, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
One win for two appearances? Okay.
They've also had three non-losing seasons in 29 years.
In 29 years. Let that sink in.
I know.
God, that's bad.
It's so hard.
So bad.
Let's go over some of the worst moments. Well, there was the Hugh Jackson 0-16, which followed on the heels of the 1-15.
Yeah. Actually, you could have put 1-31.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's Art Modell. There's the drive. There's the fumble.
Gosh, so bad.
There's the fact that you didn't have a team for like 3 or 4 years. There's like Belichick getting fired and going on to become the best coach ever.
Ever. Unquestionably ever.
And there's also the fact that you had about 47 starting quarterbacks in 15 years.
And you know what? To top that all off, I think this year's the most depressing of them
true.
All.
I agree.
Because as we talked about last week, the expectations were so high.
Yeah.
And the hope was so rich.
Oh, wasn't it?
And now you look at the homeless guy in the interview. Was that Baker Mayfield?
No, it was John Candy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
See that guy? Him in that interview literally typifies this season. It's like, well, it kind of looks like good clothes, but the whole thing doesn't work.
There's nothing that says snake bit, like I'm going to shave my Fu Manchu mustache, which was my good luck mustache, after one fucking game.
That is just this year, and I was
so
I was hanging on to that bandwagon.
So bad.
And I'm just, I'm sad for them, and I'm not even really a fan. I just wanted to see goodness to come from this fucking match.
The
two
worst.
Wins.
I worst.
2-6 this year.
I know. Okay. Ugh. Oh, Robin says we should get straw holes in the bag. See, that's
hey!
A fucking veteran right there.
See?
I really appreciate that.
A little character of a martini glasser. Nice to place.
See?
Yep.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
look what we're dealing. You know, Robin, this is a production error. That's just it. I just host the show. Clippy should have gotten the holes in the bag so we could actually drink. This is on you, Clippy.
I can't do it. I'm going to muck up my
You're
mic.
A joke, Clippy.
Hey, Barkeep. Said something about, right.
Don't worry about
it.
Let's move on. Okay.
We love you, Barkeep.
Clippy, we've got a record breaker.
Record breaker.
Are we still wearing these things?
Yeah. Let's keep wearing them. I like it. Okay, it's kind of cold in here. It's heating up my head.
I'll sneak a drink here.
Okay. So we have a couple of records to announce tonight. And if you haven't tuned to the show before, what we do every show is we bring up an obscure record that's been
set
in the NFL that no one's really talking about. First up is Jalen Samuels. The second-year running back had a career-high 13 catches for 73 yards in a 26-24 win against the Indianapolis Colts. Little does anybody know that no Steelers running back has ever made more than 12 catches in a game.
Not even.
Suck on that, Le'Veon.
Yeah, and his $16 million ask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Woo.
Now, we have another record.
Two records?
Let's have it, Clippy.
Record breaker.
Record breaker.
For the first time in NFL history.
Record breaker.
Three
Double
quarterbacks
shot.
Named
Double
Allen
shot.
Won games on the same day. Kyle, Josh, and Brandon.
Love it.
Isn't that the best?
I love it. The yeah. Allens. The Allen trio.
The Allen trio. Whoever saw these brothers coming?
I didn't.
I didn't know they were brothers, but they are. That's another. You know what? That's another record. Good
record
job.
Yes.
I forgot the graphic.
No, fuck, Clippy.
Jesus Christ.
Is there anything you can do right?
Fourth down.
Okay, I don't know if you saw this, but tonight on What the Fuck, we're talking about the Browns and the Broncos. And of course,
why?
You didn't see it.
Because why would anyone? It wasn't even televised. It was. There was a brownout.
I know. Oh, that's so. Record breaker. No, Clippy, don't do it. Don't take that bait.
Look.
Don't do it. Jesus. That would be a hell of a miss on Red Zone. Like, I would like it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, because you probably didn't see the game, Browns wideouts Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham were told they had non-conforming cleats
and
that they had to change them at halftime in order to be allowed back on the field for the second half. They did.
Which?
They changed their cleats.
Oh, they changed their cleats. Yeah. They didn't stay.
But here's what Beckham had to say about it afterwards. Okay, first of all, Clippy, throw that up on screen. Okay, that's what Beckham was wearing. Okay?
What an ass.
Is it any surprise that this is a non-conforming cleat?
You're 2-5.
Yeah, okay, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Here's what he said, okay? And I quote, I'm making my air quotes. We were supposed to wear white jerseys this week, because that's the justification for clown shoes. In the offseason, we just sit down and map out the cleats. This week on Wednesday and Thursday, we switch from the white to the brown jerseys, so I had no cleats left to wear. And the black ones I was wearing for the game, for some reason, were hurting my feet.
Did he do cryogenics?
Easy. Okay. So I went to the ones that were most comfortable. I'm pretty sure that this thing is only a big deal to the people who are talking about it. Okay, well, yeah, I see two problems
that's just
here.
That's a bizarre quote.
I see two problems here.
Only?
Number one, you're sponsored by Nike, and you just told the world that their fucking cleats hurt your feet.
Nike cleats are bad.
I can't wait to get those black OBJ cleats.
That's right.
Way to go, man.
Sales.
This is awesome.
The sales are just diving.
Unreal. Yeah. Unless for those masochists out there that are like, oh, ooh, may as well strap those on.
I'm going to see how much these hurt.
Okay, point number two. I can't believe we're talking about this.
This is real.
Is this the biggest concern you have on your tire fire of a fucking team right now? You're 2-6, and you got outplayed by Brandon Allen.
Never.
It might as well have been the coach beating you.
Right?
He never threw an NFL pass before he faced your team. You lead the league in penalties at 12.6 a game. And Baker Mayfield, people are talking about him being a bit of a bust now. After him being plus 11 in a TD interception ratio in his rookie season, now he's minus 5 the tutelage of Freddie Kitchens.
Who would have thought this would be an undisciplined
game?
Like, where'd that come from? This just seems so buttoned down during the course of the offseason.
I don't get this.
And they brought in such character players. You know, Baker Mayfield is such a character guy. OBJ, real strong character.
God, I hear you. Wait a second. What does the barkeep say? Was allowed to wear goat hair cleats for the Brady the week before? Shaking my head. You're always shaking your fucking head, barkeep. Just chill. Jesus.
It's still a good drink, though. I want to ease off on him a little bit.
Well, it's good the way I made it.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the stats version of the Purple Rain is good. I'm not sure what the real Purple Rain's like.
We should make that after.
Let's do it. We have a taste test.
Oh, God.
Taste test. Clippy,
I like that a lot.
Taste test.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the next what the fuck item out there, okay?
There's more?
Yeah, there is. Okay?
Minus
Clippy,
five.
Here we are. Let's talk about this hit that was not a hit.
Oh, it's on screen there, yeah.
And I hate talking about the fucking refs again. But in the Jags-Texan game, defensive end Calais Campbell went to tackle a scrambling Deshaun Watson. Let's wait for it to come up on screen here.
Here we go,
super slow-mo. And let's see the devastating hit that leads to the personal foul. Woo! Oh, he just got murdered!
He got murdered! It's Neymar. Neymar is on the ground rolling. Look at the damage that was done to this man.
Oh my God! The carnage!
It's inhumane!
I don't even know if we can show stuff like
this,
that.
This sport is gone too far!
Absolutely.
And it's crazy hits and just animalistic behavior.
I know.
Too far. God,
deserved
brutal.
The flag. Okay, so here's what we've learned so far.
Fucking
thank you.
Football. Sorry,
the ref in that game was Cleet Blakeman.
Okay, that's a great name, though.
It is. It Cleet. Totally.
Oh, can you not be? How can you not get a refing job if your name's Cleet?
How do you not wear those OBJ cleats when your name is Cleet?
That's right.
This guy should be wearing the clown cleats because He was also the head ref in the Packers-Lions game where he called those two illegal hands to the face penalties against Trey Flowers.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I can't make this shit up.
Fire this man. Remove his cleats.
But yes. Yes.
No. De-cleat him. Yes. That was good. That was actually pretty funny.
Coach, you're so clever.
I know. Those are dad jokes. You're so clever. Fucking awesome.
You know what? Rookie just gets in your way.
He really does.
He does. He's just trampling all over you during
the
show.
De-cleat him. That was cool.
Okay. So what? It's what? Scratch my head, you drunk. What?
It's shake not my head, scratch my head.
You said shake.
Oh, he's got some
scratch my head. Oh.
He's got emojis after that.
We don't do acronyms.
He's being funny.
Dude, the coach is like 68 years old. He doesn't know acronyms
we
and
don't
emojis.
Know. I don't even know what acronym is.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
what? I'm tired of talking about the refs.
I hate
I'm
the refs.
I'm tired
I hate the rules. These are reffing errors, I believe, but the rules still are stupid enough to say anytime you like come into the general vicinity of a quarterback's knees or head, you might as well just throw a flag.
Yeah.
If in doubt, throw a flag. It has to do with the quarterback.
Unless his name is
Cam Newton?
The Patriots defense.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, right. Fair. That was awkward, though.
I was trying to make a Tom Brady dig.
But you know, it just didn't work.
I know.
Yeah.
Terrible. So, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are we done with this segment?
I'm still angry.
So am I.
I'm really angry. So this is the thing. So I think that PI and roughing the passer are ruining football. Mm. And for differing reasons. Roughing the passer, I mean, you've got quarterbacks now who are basically soccer players. Like, I forget what game I'm watching. It doesn't matter what game it was. But someone, like, sort of glanced the face mask of a quarterback. And he was like, yeah! And he was just trying to, like, petition the ref to, like, give a flag because someone, like, glanced. And they did. They actually kind of touched his face mask.
Yep.
And he wants a 15-yard penalty and a first down because someone glanced his face mask with their finger.
The worst is they complain for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And because it works.
Right?
That's exactly why you do it, because it works, and that's ruining the game. They really and truly have to let a quarterback get at least a little bit hit sometimes. Yeah. They're in a physical sport. They're part of that, and part of what you do as a football defense is to try and harass the quarterback. And I don't mean you go in there and rip his head off or go in there and take his knees out. There's enough in there to protect them from damaging blows.
Huh.
But at least let someone give him a little shot the odd time. I mean, for crying out loud. So that part ruins it because you literally have drives in the NFL that change games because of that.
See, he kept going. Right? He kept going.
Because I'm a professional.
A shot to the head.
I'm a professional. I can
Unlike
keep going.
Unlike these fucking quarterbacks.
Who just float around. They're freaking Neymars.
Unreal.
If you don't know the soccer reference, but it's freaking like they're just diving. It's just, it's affecting games.
Yeah.
Which is the real problem. If it was just sort of an innocuous thing.
Man.
Oh, he likes me again. Look.
No, he doesn't.
Thanks, Coach. Or Barkeep. But I'm referencing myself, apparently. Anyway, so that's one part, is that you're ruining games and your
stats makes a pretty good drink.
And
throw up our names here.
I love
Where are our names?
We'll just talk in the third person.
Why don't you put up our names ever? Oh, rookie, Missy. Oh, wait.
Wait, is it? Yeah, it's this way. Yeah,
go.
Okay.
Okay, rookie, wait. Fucking show up. Okay.
Crying out loud.
Okay, thanks. Get rid of him.
So that's point one.
Yeah.
And then point to the PI stuff. I don't want to go on too far, but I think there's a problem with the rules and all that stuff, but I think the penalty is too much. I think if you just fix the penalty, if you do throw a 40-yard bomb as a desperation throw,
it's garbage.
And you give him a 40-yard penalty.
It's garbage.
Whereas an offensive PI is what, 5 yards, 10 yards?
10.
You know what I mean? So I think the penalties are out of whack when it comes to PI.
Yeah.
Fine. Give him a 10-yard penalty and a first down. Or not. Right. So, and even that hands to the face was an automatic first down. Like, why is that a first down?
What if OPI? What if OPI was just as bad a penalty as DPI?
So the OPI happened 30 yards.
Yards exactly. You back them up 30 yards.
Right.
I like
why
that
not?
A lot.
So I just think
they still won't overrule it on replay.
But there's an imbalance in the game
now,
and it is bothering me, and it's leading to results that would be different had those rules not be in.
Right.
And I think that's the true issue here we have, is that you likely have coaches that are losing their frickin' minds because of these things.
Right.
And so for me, it's broken and it has to be fixed, because the credibility of the game does worsen, if you will,
through these two massive fails of rules.
Okay.
Oh!
Clippy, that puts a wrap on this episode.
It says outro.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what this
is? No, that's how we do. That's how we're leaving.
How'd we do?
Well, don't ask them. They're going to fucking skewer you. That puts a wrap on this episode.
Okay. Okay. Thank goodness.
Special thanks to our barkeep and I guess me.
I think this special thanks to Stats.
For the Purple Rain cocktail with a little interesting Stats guy twist.
Special thanks to Stats with an assist from barkeep.
If you'd like to see or hear more episodes of Blitz, just visit blitzfootball.com. They're all there. Coach is always there. I mean, Coach lives here. Clippy's never here. Rookie's never here.
I am our MVP.
Oh, you have no idea. For years.
Most visited something.
Most visible.
Most visible, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Hey. I got nothing to podcaster.
Oh,
right?
God, that was low-hanging fruit.
Decleat and most visible podcaster.
Yeah, you got a lot to hang your fucking hat on this
episode.
I've
had a hell of a game.
You really have.
Hell of a game today.
Wow.
Hell of a game.
Game ball to the coach. Thanks for tuning in.